Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
With us again today is Francis Ball. Francis, welcome back. It's nice to have you.
I'm very glad to be here again.
Today, our life study will bring us to Noah and the way of salvation from the third fall. Would you review the situation that man was in leading up to the time of Noah and remind us just what we mean by the term the third fall?
Well, man's situation up to this point has been fully revealed to us through the first 2 falls. According to the record of the Bible, at the time of the third fall, men became flesh. In the first fall, man didn't exercise his spirit. In the second fall, he over-exercised his soul. Cain knew nothing about his spirit, but over-exercised his soul, inventing a new religion. In the third fall, man abused the fallen body and became just flesh. The first cause of man's third fall was the mingling of evil spirits with humanity. And the second cause was that man had become flesh. Man not only failed to care for the spirit, but didn't even care for his soul. He neglected the intellect and the reason in his soul. You know, many people are in the same situation today. They just don't care for the spirit, for the presence of God. Neither do they care for their soul, for their intellect and their reason. The only thing they fear is the police. If there were no police, no National Guard, the flesh would come to the surface, caring nothing for the spirit, nothing for the reason or intellect, and would act nearly the same as animals. In this condition, man has fallen to the uttermost, becoming wholly flesh. So this third fall is quite a tremendous degradation to man. At the same time of the third fall, the entire human race became flesh. So God stepped in. Praise the Lord. First of all, he told Noah that he would destroy that whole generation. But in the message today, we have a more positive look, a further word about God's salvation after such a degradation.
Thank you, Francis, for that introduction. Let's join Witness Lee now with our life study from Genesis chapter 9.
The purpose of the record of Genesis is not to show us the fall. The purpose is to show us how much God's grace can do for the fallen people.
Amen.
Firstly, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is not a small thing, finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does this mean? It doesn't say that the Lord was gracious to Noah, or the Lord granted grace to Noah. But it says Noah found. He found the grace in the eyes of the Lord. Never forget that Genesis is a book full of seeds. Here you have grace firstly mentioned in the whole Bible. Noah finding grace in the eyes of God. He was able to be what he was because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Come to the throne of grace boldly, that we may receive mercy and find grace. this matter of finding grace is not firstly mentioned in Hebrews. It is there mentioned in Genesis 6. Do you believe that Noah by himself could be such a person, finding grace in the eyes of God? I don't believe it was by himself. Listen to this. From the year Adam died to the year the deluge came, there were only 726 years. And when the deluge came, Noah was 600 years of age. So Noah was born only 126 years later than Adam's death. Adam saw his grand-grandson Enoch. Adam taught a lot to Enoch's father and grandfather. So Enoch learned the things regarding God of his father and grandfather. No doubt, as Enoch gave his son such a name, Methuselah, that when you die, the judgment will be sent. As he gave his son such a name, surely he should have taught his son concerning God. And no doubt, Methuselah taught his son. Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech begat Noah. So what I mean is, Noah surely should have learned a lot concerning the things in a positive way. So he was out of a godly family. So he realized that he needed the grace. The generation by that time was too bad, was corrupt, filled with violence. All the human race became flesh. That was a crooked, perverted generation. He was living in that kind of an evil generation. No doubt, he was taught by his parents, grandparents, grand-grand-grandparents, so he realized that he needed God's grace. Now, we can see why he found grace. It doesn't say God gave him grace, but it says he found grace. You read the whole chapter of 6, you can see God was ready to give the fallen race grace. Because verse 3 says, God's Holy Spirit was striving there. Was striving there. Ready to give grace to the needy ones. But this grace needed human cooperation. And Noah afforded that cooperation and he found the grace.
Francis, let's interrupt right here. Witness Lee has given us a very good picture connecting Noah's godly heritage and his ability to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Could you elaborate on this for us?
Well, one thing I think we need to do is trace through the years of the long life of Adam. If you look at the dates, you could see that Adam and Enoch lived together for 308 years before Enoch was taken away by God. And Noah was born just 69 years later, just 126 years after Adam's death. By tracing this heritage of Noah and the overlapping of the generations before him, it seems obvious that Adam would have told Enoch things about God, not only just his own sons, but even his grandsons and his descendants. He lived a long time, and no doubt he told all his descendants about God. It's clear that Enoch knew about God because he named his son Methuselah, which means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Then Methuselah, who lived 969 years, must have taught his son Lamech about God, and Lamech surely taught his son Noah. The point of this whole matter of the forefathers is that Noah did not find grace on his own. He had a long history with his forefathers to learn what grace was. Even though the age in which he lived was so corrupted, even then he realized that he needed God's grace. Now, this is the first mention of grace in the Bible, and this mention is about a man finding grace. God was always willing to give grace, but he must have those who find grace. So the grace that Noah found was just God himself. Grace is not something God gives simply. Grace is God himself standing with Noah and supplying him during that crooked and perverted generation. I like to be one who finds grace, just like Noah.
Francis, I'd like to be one like that too. Let's go back to Witness Lee with today's life study of Genesis.
Now, we have to find out what is grace. Mostly people understand grace as something given by God. In the Bible, grace means something more than this. Not only something given by God, but God himself doing something for us. This is grace. Grace is not merely something objective given to you by God. Grace is God himself coming to you. You are awake? Okay. But God is coming to be your strength. And this coming of God is grace. You cannot face the situation, but that's okay, because God is coming to stand with you, to face the situation for you and with you and in you. This is grace. God was with Noah. And God's presence became the strength, the power, the dealing to Noah. Noah not enjoyed something given to him by God objectively, but Noah enjoyed God himself. God himself in a crooked, perverted, adulterous generation, but Noah found the grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means God came to Noah, to strengthen Noah, to stand with Noah, to uphold Noah. Could you follow me? And that was the grace which Noah found. And this grace is exactly what we need today.
Amen.
Look at today's society. I tell you, brothers, none of us can stand such a situation. And this age is really crooked and perverted, full of adultery, full of fornication, full of immorality. Even people today are touting immorality without a bit of shame. They don't have a sense of shamefulness. And who can stand such a generation? None of us. Because the fallen nature is within us. We are the same evil as the others. We cannot stand. We cannot deal with. So what? So we need the grace. We need to come to the throne of grace boldly and say, Lord, I am here. I need your grace. I'm coming not to ask you to give me the good things. I'm coming to find grace to meet my need. Lord, I cannot go to the office to do my job without your presence. Lord, I cannot face the situation in my school, a classroom, without your presence. Lord, I cannot go into the department store without your presence. Lord, stand with me. Come, be with me. Be my strength. Be my upholding. I'm coming not to ask you to give me the good things. I'm coming to find grace to meet my need.
Amen.
Who can stand such an age? We need the grace.
Amen.
We need the grace that we can be today's Noah.
Amen.
Only grace can help us all the time that we would love our wife, that we would love our husband for eternity. Without grace, none can make it. Too much temptation. There is the current, there is the tide of this age. We need the grace. Now you understand what is grace. Grace is God coming to you to be your strength, to be your everything. This is grace. This was what Noah needed. And this is also what we need today. Noah found it. And we have to find it.
Francis, I know that many Christians are focused on trying to change the characteristics of this age and how much it resembles the age of Noah. But our point today is that the real solution for us is the same as Noah, and that was to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. What are your thoughts about this?
I know what you say is true, that in these days we have much the same situation in the world that Noah faced, a degenerated situation. But God came in Noah's day, and he was ready to just destroy the whole generation. But today we realize God has offered salvation. Just as Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it wasn't by his trying to improve the situation, but it's by his being willing to seek God. The need we have today is the same as Noah's need. And the situation today is in the same principle as in Noah's day. God's way of salvation is not by our human improvement or by our being able to change the political situation or improve the degraded situation or by the betterment of society. It's altogether by His grace. If we find grace, society would be changed. When we just recognize that we need grace, just recognize we need grace, we must come to the throne of grace. We can come to the throne of grace boldly, according to Hebrews. Come to the throne and you say, Lord, here I am. I need grace. I can't make it. In this world, with all its temptations, I have no way to make it. I need you, Lord. I need you yourself. I can't stand alone. I know you love me. I need you, and I need grace to be my strength in my daily life against today's temptations. This is the way to have your need met in this perverted generation, not by your power to overcome the temptation, but by you coming to the throne of grace and receiving grace for your timely need. And this timely need is all the time, not only day by day, but hour by hour, even minute by minute. We need the grace of God for us to live by today.
Amen. Thank you, Francis. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Because Noah found the grace, it was easy for Noah to walk with God. He walked with God by faith. Faith is not something out of ourselves. Faith is something of God transfused into our being. The more we look to the Lord, the more we got transfused with Him. Even we got infused with all what He is. When He is transfused into us or infused into our being spontaneously, this very divine element becomes our faith.
Amen.
We don't know how to believe, and we cannot believe. But let me tell you, if you just come to the throne of grace, looking into Him, touching Him, and finding grace, you'll be infused with the believing God. He will believe in you, for you. He will be your faith. Faith comes from this source. Noah did this, and Noah believed. All the worldly people, they are not right with God, neither they are right with others, neither they are right with themselves. But Noah was a righteous person. He was right with God. He was right with others. He was right with himself. I tell you, Hebrews tells us eventually he became the heir, inheriting the righteousness that is according to faith. He inherited the faith. This means, firstly, because of his finding grace, because of his believing in God. God has been transfused into him, infused into him. Spontaneously, he had a believing element. He had a believing faculty. He believed in God right away. His believing became righteousness reckoned by God to him. Not only so, because he found grace with God in such a way. And this grace strengthened him, helped him to live a righteous life. A righteousness was lived out of in his daily work. So this kind of righteousness was not something objective, but something subjective. Firstly, he got the objective righteousness, and eventually he lived out the subjective righteousness. So in the eyes of God, Noah inherited the riches of righteousness.
Francis, in this last portion, the connection between grace, faith, and a walk well-pleasing to God is very helpful. Would you elaborate on this?
Well, surely there is a real connection between grace, faith, and a walk that's well-pleasing to God. The more we touch the throne of grace, the more we experience the infusion of God Himself into us, the more faith comes spontaneously. Grace is available to us. To find grace is God's way of bringing our cooperation into His plan. But when you receive grace, which is God Himself infused into you, then spontaneously you have faith. We don't have faith, but Christ Himself is faith. Grace is faith. So to find grace, spontaneously we believe. And by this believing, we are really changed by God. He comes into us, make us unrighteous ones righteous. Make us who were enemies of God reconciled to God. This faith cannot be produced by anything I do, but it's simply by touching this grace that faith comes. I don't need to strive to try to please God. But if I have the grace of God infused into me and imparting God Himself as faith in me, the very faith that I have is the faith of Jesus Christ put into my being, into my spirit. And this makes me a person like Noah. Noah was righteous because he believed God. By believing, we are righteous. Man today without God, just the worldly people, the people without God, without Christ, they're not right with God. They're not right with others. They're not even right with themselves. But by touching the throne of grace and receiving that grace infused into our being, faith spontaneously is exercised. And that faith makes us righteous in God's sight. And that kind of righteousness is worked out to make us righteous people.
Francis, thank you for your help today.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde.